I want to continue on with the series that we started just a couple weeks ago about God's plan, about God's plan. I started with the verse with Proverbs 14:12, where it says that the there is a way that seems right to man, but the end is destruction. In other words, it's not good. There's a way that might seem okay to you and might even look really right to you, but according to the scriptures, it says that that way may not be right. Excuse me. We looked at Moses' life and we saw how Moses had the heart of God, the plan of God. He wanted to help the people of God, but yet he went about it initially the wrong way. Remember, he killed the Egyptian because he was doing it his way. But, you know, that way, as much as you and I might read that today and say, boy, that was stupid, it seemed right to him at the moment. And probably a few of the guys here, at least at one time, wanted to kill somebody anyway. You know, at least you felt like it. but he thought that was right. And so the premise of that whole story of Moses and that particular side of it is, there is a way that can seem right, but that end is destruction. Well, I thank God that with Moses and many others, he doesn't disqualify them or throw them out because he made a mistake, and even because he killed somebody. He didn't throw them out because that's not the God that we serve. That's not the God we know. And you always have to look at his character in everything you consider about him. You got to understand his character. Sometimes just knowing his character will help you to understand the Bible clearer. And you won't get into these wrestling things with, you know, why this and why that. You just have to understand that God does everything out of what? Love and care and for your well-being and for the best for you. And it helps you then to begin to understand the scriptures clearer. And we oftentimes, as believers, we know some good memory verses. We quote them a lot, we pray them a lot, and we just know a lot of verses. And we know, you know, some of the Bible stories, especially if we grew up in Sunday school, we know all the Bible stories about David and Goliath and all of that. But yet I find it's amazing how a lot of times those scriptures can be either misused, not understood, and ineffective simply because we don't understand God's big plan. And that's what we have to see. Many believers see their Christian life and their Christian walk like a little kid looking at a parade through a knothole in the fence. Okay? And so you ask them, what's the parade all about? Well, it's about elephants. That's it. You know, and the next little kid in the next knothole, no, it's about horses. And so they go round and round. And a lot of times that's how we see Christianity. We see it like through a knothole of even just a couple scriptures. But I hope that through the course of some of this series that we can maybe see a little bit larger picture of what God's plan is so that we can not only step into it ourselves, understand our part of it, but also to be able to be more effective in our Christian walk. I want to read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So as we look at God's plan and God's purpose and his will for your life, the Bible tells us, the apostle tells us, I want you to understand what the will of God is. Well, I have to see the larger picture in order for that to happen, don't I? You know, it's much easier to do a picture puzzle with a whole pile of pieces if you have the box cover in front of you, because you can see where you're going. And so you put that there and you look at it and you refer to that a lot. Why? Because that helps you put the individual pieces where they belong. And it's the same thing, I think, with the scriptures. Sometimes we just kind of grab a scripture here and there and become frustrated after a while. It may work once or twice because of God's grace and mercy, but he doesn't want you to live that way. He wants you to grow and become a part of his whole plan. The New Living Translation says that particular verse, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. You need to have understanding. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10, a very familiar scripture to just about everybody in the world, is, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." He knows these things. God knows everything that He created you with and for. He knows all of those things. It's not a surprise to Him. You're not an accident. You're not just floating around without a purpose and without a cause. You have something that God created you for. And what He's saying here through the prophet Jeremiah is, hey, I know those thoughts. I know those thoughts. And that's the beginning of that verse. And the latter part of it is very encouraging because it says that he says those things are for you to have a future and to have a hope. And so we know that not only does He have a plan and purpose, but He has it for a future and a hope for us, which brings the positive side of it. So I'm not to move into a monastery and become a boring monk. I'm sorry, I should have said that. They've done some real good in their prayers, okay? But you know what I'm saying. I'm not supposed to go over here in the corner and be a sulky, sad Christian. That's really not Christianity at all. In fact, it's nothing to do with the kingdom, is it? Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and what?
Joy.
It's joy. There should be joy in believers' hearts. And when we begin to see this, we know that God's thoughts and plans are for us. He has something for you. You're not just an accident. We continue to look at Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." And so when we see the reinforcement of God's heart and thinking, not only for us, but for the world, all of a sudden now I begin to fit myself into that larger picture. What's God after through you and I? Is He after us to run around and be judgmental about everybody and everything?
No.
He's not, is He?
No.
Now, do we have morals and standards? Absolutely, and don't ever lose them. Just don't become a judge and don't be a judgmental. That's a spirit. That's an attitude. But you never, as a matter of fact, He tells us, doesn't He? Speak the truth in what? In love. We have to do that. We don't have to become judgmental about life. And he teaches us this in His life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus." Why? So that we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. Now think about this, because see, where I want to go this morning is that, yes, we believe that God has a plan and a purpose, but also we must believe that we are to be a part of that plan and purpose. Kind of like what Rosalind said this morning. God stirred something in her heart. What are you going to do? Well, she chose to take a step and do something that's going to benefit a lot of people. And it will. And it's an awesome thing. And it's important for us to understand. He has a plan for you. But I just want to say, it's not a plan to retire. It's not a plan to go sit on the beach the rest of your life, although you may have opportunity to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. He made them for us to enjoy. He's a fun, loving God and fun-loving. He's all those things. He doesn't want you to just have a boring, wretched existence with Him, because then you'll have a boring, wretched existence with everybody you see out there. He wants you to understand it. So there's things to enjoy that He's made for us, but He has a real plan for your life. I mean, this is the most critical thing that I think we can capture today as the body of Christ. He really does have a plan for my life. And He says this here. He says, you know something? I planned that for you even before you were born.
Amen.
So I think about that and I think, wow, God, that's amazing. That is totally amazing that God is so big, so amazing, that He actually sat before you were made and just mapped your entire life out for you. He thought of you, He equipped you, and He says, man, this is what I want them to do and enjoy. I want them to live like this. I want them to go to this place with their life so that they can not only express the redemptive love of God to the world, but they can also see that I'm a great God and that for with me, nothing is impossible. And I believe that the Lord is bringing His church at large. He's bringing us to this place. We have this beautiful opportunity right now to step forward and let His glory be seen in and through our lives. And I believe we just need to step into it and take it. We see the seasons in the scriptures. The Bible talks about times and seasons. He says, I want you to know these times and seasons. I think we're in one of the seasons where we need to begin to say, God, yeah, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here in this place, in this year, this time in history, for a real purpose. God, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to not do something about it if you're so clear that you have created me as a masterpiece to do your bidding on this planet. And this is what we've just read. He goes on in Psalms 37 and verse 23. It says, the Lord directs the step of the godly, and He delights in every detail of their lives. You think God's too big to understand every one of your details and to even care about them? This is what He's saying right here. In the New Testament, it says, hey, He numbers your hair. The hair on your head, that's how detailed He knows you. And that's how detailed He cares about you. Now, we can't quite completely comprehend that because we can't do that. But just think, you got a God in heaven that actually literally cares about every little detail of every day of your life. And the more that you acknowledge Him in that, the more you look to Him recognizing that He's got an amazing plan that's going to happen. He's allowing us to be a part of it, and a critical part of it, an important part of it, and He knows every aspect of my life. I tell you, I think sometimes we don't acknowledge the closeness of God throughout the day. And so therefore we can forget about Him by the night. Because we're not acknowledging Him all day. God, you've empowered me with yourself. He put a treasure inside of you of Himself in this, not some spiritual body, but He says, hey, in that earthen vessel, I have put this treasure, I have put me inside of you, what will you do with that? So I think oftentimes because we don't see the large plan of God, whenever you don't see the large plan of God, you know what you revert to? It's all about me. How's God going to serve me? How's God going to help me? How's God going to bless me? That's exactly where we can go if we're not looking at this larger plan and recognizing God does have a plan. He is doing something. It's not just day after day happening. He's literally doing something to save the world. And I don't know about you. I guess I'd like to be out of this world too, but I'm glad that He didn't come before 1953. Okay? That was the year somebody was born, very special. And so when we start to allow our thinking to change and we realize, wow, Lord, you want to literally direct my steps. How many steps do you take in a day? I knew this once. I don't remember it now, so I won't guess. But you take a lot of steps every day. And He is the director of those steps. And I think, wow, when can I start acknowledging God a whole lot more as if He's really with me? Because guess what? He really is. How many can say yes to that? Yes. He's with us. He's inside of us. Yes. The God who created everything that Katie was talking about this morning, the stars and the beautiful things that you see around you, He put Himself inside of you. He sent His Son to cleanse you enough to carry the glory, and now He wants you just to release it. Amen. And we do that as Ephesians says, hey, can I do the good things that He planned for me long ago? And the way that He has this thing set up is that you can't do it without knowing Him and walking with Him. See, He didn't want to save you and then send you on your own to go do good deeds. Sometimes we just take one scripture and that's what we do. We go around just throwing that scripture out. Instead of realizing that God's got this much larger plan that He's trying to move through me as He's made me a part of it, and I need to catch that. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Mortals make elaborate plans, but God has the last word. I love that. And I've said it before. You'll never mess up God's big plan. You'll just mess up your part in His big plan. But you're not going to alter Him. He's in control. And oftentimes we've confused God's sovereignty with man's responsibility. And we've even argued about it, when in fact they're both absolutely true. God is completely sovereign. But you have a human responsibility according to so many scriptures. Mortals make elaborate plans. You know, we always make plans, don't we? As Katie said, probably she's a maniac with them, I think. But she makes all these plans, and she's got all these colors, and that's great. She just has to watch out because God probably messes them up once in a while. And he uses me just to do it. You know, I mean, I didn't do it. I wasn't doing that. I'm too nice for that. But you know what I'm saying? So it's exactly what I'm saying. Mortals make elaborate plan, but God has the last word. Humans are satisfied and whatever looks good, God probes for what is good. Wow. See, he's involved in your life. You're going to go the way that looks good to you. And that's just the way that we are. But God wants to come alongside of you, and he wants to direct and order all of your steps so that they're the right way, not just a good way. Amen? Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. He's wanting to get involved more with his people. It's a critical time. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. See, there's nothing really wrong with plans. But as we saw with Moses, and we'll see even maybe with Gideon and next week, we'll see that we can make some plans that just aren't right. And I've known people that have planned things out that they thought were God, and because it didn't work out, they literally said, I'm just not going to serve God anymore. He failed me. Can I just tell you, we sang it, I think, this morning. He will never fail you. See, if I don't understand that, then when something doesn't go right, where does my thoughts go? Oh, he failed me. Oh, he let me down. And the devil is the father of lies. And he will help you to believe that lie. But it's just not true. God will never let us down. He'll never fail us. He's conscious and aware of every one of your footsteps, every hair on your head. He's aware of every decision you're making. He's right there. He's wanting to help you with those decisions, as well as he's wanting to monitor those decisions so that you can see when those decisions are not him. And not be discouraged, but to learn how to make the right decisions with him. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. See, over and over we see this, don't we? God has plans. He put it inside of you to make plans. That's why we do that. Some better than others, but everybody should. And if you don't do it well, you need to marry somebody that does. I'm serious. Because it says so much about it in Scripture that it's very, very important. We have a lot of plans, but only God's is going to prevail. Another translation which I thought said it well, same verse. We humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails. So we have a safety net to run in. I'm just telling you that. It's better to run than not to do anything. I'm pretty glad about that myself. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says this. Yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. So we see this repeated thing about, man, God's put something in your heart. Why would you want to do anything? It's because he put it in your heart. Why would you even have plans? Because the Bible talks about that God stirs up your heart for those plans. And oftentimes we let the busyness of the world or the challenges of the world or the things around us so consume us that we are so consumed with that that, again, I want to say this carefully, but we're so consumed with ourselves because we don't recognize God's big plan. We haven't really read the Bible as a whole story. It's not two stories, not 10 stories. It's just one story. It's one big story of God's amazing plan of redemption for mankind. And you're a part of that as you live the daily walk with him. But we get so busy with looking at our own self and our own life that we literally can just miss the whole plan that God has for us. But it's time as the church that we rise up to this new level of saying, God, I believe you have a plan. And as we've just seen in the scriptures, God, I believe that I'm to be a part of that plan. And I have something to do. If I could have the worship team go ahead and come up. I think of David. David gets on the track of life, gets a prophetic word about being the king. But where is he? He's a shepherd on the backside of the desert. It took a while for that to happen. He got the word, but when he went to fight Goliath, he brought a whole revelation to us about the backside of the desert, or that time in the wilderness, or that what he probably was frustrated with when he was back there with all those sheep. I'm sure he was frustrated. He's just like you and I, but he literally tells us, wow, when he faces Goliath, in the desert, guess what I learned how to do? I learned how to fight the lion and the bear, and so now I can go get Goliath, because none of us are going to go get our Goliath if we haven't done the lion and the bear yet. We don't just go from here to here. You don't see that really anywhere in Scripture. Joseph gets this amazing call and ultimately is going to save all of Israel, feed all of Israel, and save them literally. And what does he do? He gets in prison, he gets out of prison. Gets in prison, gets out of prison. It's just an amazing thing. But yet, when it came down to it, because he kept his heart right, he understood the processes of God, he trusted God completely, he knew that God had this huge plan, and that that plan was not going to be altered by man. And so he was willing to set himself in a position to say, God, this is what you want. Whether telling the story to his brothers or not was right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. But what matters is after he got the dream and the vision, after he got in his heart, he let that out, he ended up getting thrown in the pit and then sold as a slave. What if he would have thought, God, why? You failed me. You really let me down. You really let me down. You pulled me away from my family. How are my brothers ever going to bow down to me? I'm off now into another place, and I'm in prison a few times. What would have happened when his brothers finally got there? When the will and purpose... See, that was because I think he really understood this bigger thing about God. And I really do. And I think Abraham, too. It took Abraham a while to get there. But remember, Abraham's promise was his son. I'm going to give you many kids. He finally gets one. And what happens? God says, okay, I need to take you to the next level of faith. Because I need the next level of faith, because what you're going to do and what you're going to leave, what heritage you're going to leave, and what impact you're going to have on generations to come is that they can have great faith. They can completely trust you right down to the point that God, he knew God wasn't going to kill his son, I believe. Why? Because he knew his God. He knew his character. You had to walk through that to take him to the next level. So today, probably more than anybody else, who's quoted about faith? Isn't it Abraham? But see, he had to walk through a process and not become frustrated and not, you know, like Moses, you know, not to run. You see, Moses ran after his first little trial, ended up in the wilderness for a while until he finally got back after an encounter with God to God's plan and purpose. And he ultimately, guess what? Delivers them out of the bondage of Egypt. Would you just bow your heads for a second, please? I believe it's critical for us to catch this. I believe this morning God's going to drop something in your heart that you need to have dropped into your heart, or maybe you just need to be opened back up. Is that God has an amazing plan and a purpose, and he created you for this time and season, not to waste it being frustrated, but to seek after his face, to seek the Lord while he may be found. Now is the time of salvation. He wants you to be in tune with him so that you can continue to press forward to see the will of God happen. And if something's a struggle in your life, maybe realize that in the history that we see all the men and women of God, they all went through stuff that tested their faith for what? So that he could take them to the next level, so they could take a group of people to the next level. And he's looking to achieve church that's going to do that. There's a world out there that's dying, that's hurting without Christ. He needs a church that's going to stand up and represent him with such great faith that they are able to tap into it themselves and come running. Because I'm telling you, it's critical for you to catch this morning. It's caught, not taught. We did some scriptures, but this is a caught thing. This is, God, I understand your purpose today for my life, and I'm going to step into it. I'm going to do whatever it takes, and we will be talking about what that takes. I'm not going to Do that today. But I want to share one thing, one scripture that I felt like the Lord gave for me to close with this morning. It's Proverbs 24 and verse 16. No matter how often the righteous fall, they always get up. No matter how often the righteous fall, and that word fall there, it means they are cast down, or maybe they just kick back, or maybe they just, you know, let life pass, or maybe they got discouraged and they just quit moving forward with God. They kind of broke that relationship with Him, not their salvation, but they just broke having the relationship with Him, maybe because of their own failings and their own shortcomings and their own sin. And yet He wants to say, though the righteous fall, they just keep getting up. They keep getting up until that your legs are able to be so strong that you keep standing up and you stop falling down. So right now, just as you're thinking about the topic this morning and about your life and maybe where you're at right now and maybe the season you're in, you would just ask the Holy Spirit to just take you higher. Just take you higher. Open up your eyes a little bit more. Don't let yourself feel like this is it. You've reached your max. Nobody reached their max in the Bible except for the ones that quit. Everybody else that kept going reached their max. Ask Joshua, ask Caleb, ask Abraham, ask Moses. They just kept going even when they failed. So I just, again, felt like the Lord said to end with that scripture. And so maybe you are in that place where you feel like Satan is the father of lies. Maybe you just feel like, well, I blew it too many times, or I've been kicked back too long, or failed, or sin, or whatever. It's all important to God. He's a righteous, holy God. We will never get away from that. That's His character. How do I make decisions based on His holy character? But in fact, it says He's holy, holy, holy. Perfectly holy. And so, but He says if I fail or fall or get discouraged, I can get back up. And that's the key. So, Father, this morning, I pray for this group that's here. I believe everybody's here by a divine appointment. It's not an accident. You want to touch each one of our hearts today with a fresh perspective of your larger plan. That's my desire today, God, is that we would really see that you've got this huge plan that you've been working that has never changed, it will never change, and that you really want every one of us as your masterpieces to be a part of it in a vital way. We are not to look at ourselves as less than a masterpiece, but you've created us in beauty and holiness, and you created us in righteousness. And Father, you said that we were your masterpieces, and that you watch every step that we're taking, and that you care about those steps too. So today, God, I ask us as your church, as your community of believers here, Father, download your Spirit into each one of us right now. So whatever our struggle might be, whatever our stopping point might be, whatever our challenge has been, that would be broken off today in Jesus' name. We would begin to have a fresh revelation of your plan and our part in it. So God, help us this morning. We desperately need your help. We desperately need your help. We live in a day of much gray around us in the Christian world. But God, you want us to follow you. And I pray today that you just stir something in each one of our hearts that would move us forward in this. In the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.